And good morning, Hoosier Nation, and welcome to another victorious edition of Hoosier Morning After. This is Hoosier Morning After Jackson State. Yesterday afternoon, in those wonderful afternoon tip games that players love, being very sarcastic here, Indiana goes on to beat Jackson State 51-90, a game that kind of started out slightly slow, but then picked up in pace big time. Indiana getting off in transition very fast, showing that that's a game that they like to play and a game that they excel at. Guys getting rebounds and ball handlers getting down the court and dishing it off in great fashion. And a lot better, obviously, than the previous game. That was kind of a nail that we talked about in last show, was some of those passes on those fast breaks. But 16-point lead at half, and then kind of took over from there and ended in the nearly 40 point lead. And against Jackson State, again, that this was kind of the beginning of the end for our cupcake-ish games that we have this year. And we get into, obviously, the harder games moving forward. But not to take too much away from Jackson State, because we have a recent sample of another Big Ten team that they played in Michigan and just beat them by 10. So very interesting to see that, and a great play overall, and a lot of minutes shared throughout. With me, as always, is Martha the Mop Lady. Martha, talk to me about your impressions of this game.
Yeah, I think, I had a chance to attend the game the other night, the night before Thanksgiving. And as you mentioned, that one kind of just was sluggish, I would say, two-thirds of the game or three-fourths of the game, however you want to put it. And, so I was curious to see how we'd come out against a Jackson State team that you just mentioned that gave Michigan everything I could handle. And it really never in doubt. And what you wanted to see, Trace returned. He kind of looked a shell of himself, which – it seems like he's still getting over whatever he's getting over, and I'm sure we'll discuss that a little bit. But it was good to see some of what we saw. Right, we've been looking for some games out of some folks that we finally got to see, and these games have an interesting vibe, right? Your students are gone, and you're playing an opponent that's kind of fresh off a holiday. You're playing an opponent that's could be really easy to look ahead with who we've got on the schedule, but we showed up, took care of business. There were times and it wasn't the prettiest, and some couple guys struggled, but all in all, got the job done, and that's what you want to see. You're on mute, buddy. Chad, you're on mute.
We have struggled. Well, sorry, missed the mute button there. I've got cousins and stuff in the background starting to wake up. What we have seen in the past in games like this is we have struggled because other teams are coming in. They don't have anything to lose. They are just coming in to firing on all cylinders, and we've struggled on some of those. And so it's good to see that we take care of business during these games. And not only that, but have taken advantage of them in the proper way. Something that we've kind of discussed on this show was how this non-conference has laid out for this team has been perfect to spread out the minutes, play more of the bench. And that was something that we despised last year, that we struggled with, because then we got down the road, we got into injury trouble, and we had to rely on guys that didn't have much run until they were needed and called upon when situations called on them. And it's interesting when you look at the minutes distribution. 4 minutes by Logan Duncombe is the least amount of minutes. Everyone else is at 11 or above. So a great distribution of minutes, something that, again, is just going to benefit us moving forward. What did you think of that situation?
Yeah, I like the fact that we're able to get some guys some time. I really loved how much time Caleb Banks got yesterday. And just a guy that continues to look like he belongs. And I think he played 16, 17 minutes, something like that when I checked. And obviously we continue to see CJ Gunn getting some minutes. And, that's huge for development for this team, because these guys, when you look again at what we lose or what's not going to be here next year, to get some of these guys some of this experience and be able to not only get them experience, but leave with the sense that you can rely on them a bit. It's not like we're just getting them experience to check a box, right? They get out on the court and they produce and they look like they belong. And, you know, that was a question mark coming into the season, was what is the bench going to look like? Are we going to be able to lean on these young guys? And so far they're proving that we can. So that's very encouraging. And, you know, it just gives you a little bit more confidence as we get into this more challenging part of the schedule coming up.
Yep. And the biggest stat line and biggest story of this game is seeing Tamar Bates have a great game for himself in this one. Finished with 22 points, 8 for 11 from the field, 4 for 6 from 3, 2 for 2 on his free throws, 4 assists, 24 minutes, finished with an 18 plus minus. Just great play for him, showing the different levels of his game, able to get to the basket, some great passes, ball handling, making the shots when they come out to him, creating his own shot. Just a fantastic game and what we hoped to see from him. And it's good to see this finally break out for him, because it just means great things for Indiana moving forward. What'd you see in Tamar?
Yeah, we've been, to your point, and Woody even said it after the game, that nothing of what he saw yesterday surprised him, right? I mean, this was something that I think everybody that's seen glimpses of Tamar knows he's completely capable of. And something we've been kind of waiting to happen, you know, just from a, you know, you watch him play, right? He's always really strong at the defensive end and active at the defensive end, and you know what he's capable in the offensive end. And to finally get that Tamar game that we've talked so much about is really exciting, you know. And now for me, it's like, okay, you're a sophomore now. Let's see if we can put, you know, another one of these together, right? Or you know, have back-to-back games like that. Because you know he's completely capable, and I think it's time, you know, that's the next step for Tamar, is having, you know, not necessarily waiting for these games to happen, but expecting these games to happen a little more regularly, and hopefully that's what we see. But what a strong game, 4 for 6 from three. I think, what would you say, finished with 22 points? I mean, that's that's big, that's huge. You know, especially with a TJD that's not necessarily 100%, somebody's got to step up, right? And, you know, We've seen X and now him step up and fill that void. So it's really, really encouraging to see. And I'm really anxious to see, you know, how he follows up his performance from last night.
And speaking of Trayce Jackson-Davis, just finished with 11 points. I know just 11 points, as if that's real bad. In 19 minutes, I think I wasn't too thrilled with those 19 minutes. I think, how much did he play in the second half? I'm trying to look at that real quick, because I think he did play a little bit in the second half, played about 8 minutes or so in the second half. I was hoping, honestly, going into halftime that we didn't see him at all. He just didn't look like himself. He needed to play in this game. He definitely needed to play. He needed to get some rhythm and everything like that. You could just tell that he wasn't 100%. I wouldn't say that he was in a lot of pain, because you would have seen that more facially from him wincing and stuff. He was grabbing at his back a little bit, and he was just more stone-faced. And I think that's when something's off from Trayce Jackson-Davis, that's what you see from him. You don't see those extra little emotions come out from him. But hopefully he's able to get over this. If it is just a little bit of a strain of a back thing, we at least have 5 days for him to relax it now. But what do you think with Trayce?
Yeah, to your point, clearly favoring something. I mean, he was kind of a somewhat of a shell of himself, right? And you know, who knows what the instruction was going into that game. I don't think it's a, you know, obviously, as we mentioned a couple times, they gave Michigan a game, and I think that the point was probably to try to get Trayce a spell, you know, some time on the court before we play North Carolina this week. But again, he just watching him up and down the court, it's like, man, he seemed very stiff to me. Just, you know, not almost that he wasn't ready to completely trust his entire skill set. And you know, he was going to be there. If he needed to score a bucket, he would. But, you know, you're at 4 or 5, right? 3 or 4 from the free throw line. He certainly contributed. But obviously, he wasn't the standout Trayce we're used to. And I think that was 100% due to the fact that he wasn't 100%. And we didn't need him to be. So that's fine. He got to get up and down the court some. And you know, to your point, you know, we've got 4 or 5 days here before North Carolina. Hopefully, that allows him to rest and recover a bit. It's nice that he could take, you know, the Wednesday night game off, and so again, hopefully hopefully this helped him at least stay a little bit fresh, and he's able to get back at least close to the 100% trace we know before North Carolina.
Well, and you better believe that there's no chance. I don't think there's any concern at all that he won't play in the North Carolina game, because Trace will have to be dragged off on a stretcher, because I think he's going to give everything he can in this game. Even if he is in pain, you'll see him playing through it and everything until he can't go anymore, because this game, I think, to him means a lot, because his fellow big man was kind of the first one to announce, first big man with a lot of skill to announce that they're coming back for a surprise final season. And so I think that kind of had a little bit of motivating factor for him to come back. And on the stage like it is and everything, I don't think at any point is he not going to play in this game, and he is not going to give 100%, and which is scary to the detriment of what that means for games going forward. But yeah, it's he's going to play really hard in that game. So definitely look forward to this game coming up and everything for the team. Other people to kind of speak of, Jalen Hood-Schifino, I thought, had a fairly good game. 6 assists. He continues to do things from a great standpoint as a point guard. It's the kind of shooting guard side of him that is still needing a little bit of work. His shot selection continues to be a little bit rushed. I think he takes him a little bit early. It is a beautiful shot. It is a great shot. That his form and everything is just slightly off. Maybe just needs a little bit more comfort and a little bit more tweaks. But I wish he'd pull back a little bit on the frequency and how early in the shot clock he's taking those. What did you see from Jalen?
Yeah, I think, you know, you say it well when, you know, we don't have to with Jalen, you don't have to look to his points produced every time to determine whether he had a good game or not. Yeah, he's struggling shooting the basketball right now. You can't deny that. But like you mentioned, when you look at his contributions as a point guard, right, his assist to turnover ratio remains really, really strong. I think he had 6 assists and 2 turnovers, right? And, you know, I agree with you. I think that, and I made mention, it just seems like that he's relying on that long jumper a little bit too much. And with, you know, talk a lot about his size, his body, it would be great to see him take it to the hole a little bit more, not necessarily rely on that shot, especially when it's not falling. If it's falling, it's one thing. But, you know, I think after yesterday's game, he's got the lowest offensive rating on the roster. And while that's okay, you know, it's a freshman working through some things, and it doesn't necessarily stick out. But it's just, you know, maybe to gain some confidence and you know, and improve his offensive contribution. Just see him take it to the hole a little bit more, not rush that shot, right? I don't think we don't need him to make that shot right now. So until he's feeling it, you know, maybe get a little bit more creative on the offensive side of the ball. But again, he continues to do the things we need point guards to do, right? And I think for a freshman, that shooting will come, right? He'll work through some of that stuff. So not discouraged at all. Would love to see him maybe adjust a little bit better. But, you know, continues to be a guy that doesn't look like a freshman and does what we need him to do as a point guard.
And he has shown us in games that he can get to the rim. And I've commented before that the way he does and the things that he does getting to the rim are very Romeo-esque, where they look so easy and the ground that he's able to cover doing that. And this is me maybe just jumping to some conclusions here with that, but he was doing it in earlier games, but one argument that I would say is that I didn't think he was getting some calls that he should have getting in there, and he was getting banged into a little bit. So I don't know if there's hesitation from him to go to the rim because of that, because he doesn't feel like he's going to get the call or he's going to get banged up going in there. I don't know. That's, again, just trying to read into things and stuff. But yes, I agree 100%. We need to see him be more confident to kind of get in that lane. That's just going to open up his little pull up that much better. And as Joel says in the chat, he is one of those players that just kind of needs to see the ball go in. And once that first one goes in, I think that relaxes him that much more, and he gets into a rhythm better. That'd be an interesting kind of study to look at his games and see what his scores look like after he makes his first one or two shots if he scores a little bit more as compared to when he misses his first three shots. Moving on to other people to talk about in this game, we had the reemergence of headband Race Thompson. Hopefully that fires through the rest of the season. Obviously it's on still just to cover up whatever butterfly stitches or super glue or whatever situation is going on with that cut. We'll at least see it for another game or two, but we'll see if he remains superstitious and keeps that on as he goes. But he just finished 18 minutes, 3 for 4 from the field, 1 for 1 from three. Again, I'll keep preaching it every game. I want him to take at least 1 to 3 3-point shots each game because he has the ability to make those, and I feel like it's within his wheelhouse to do that. 4 rebounds, just kind of a impressionistic game for him. Just does the little things and stays on the stat sheet and affects things. What'd you see from Mr. Headband?
Yeah, like I like that he returned with it, and it's gonna be interesting to see if he sticks with that headband once his. I think he might have got a couple of stitches.
Some NIL opportunity. Come on, Race. Exactly. I don't see many NIL stuff out there for
reminds
you.
Reminds me of the Bracey Wright days. When the team came out in headbands and had the fans in an uproar. I don't know if you remember those days, but that
the,
was
and the shorts that went down below the knees.
I think it was IU Artifacts tweeted a photo of that team photo where the boy, that was a time. What an era. But anyway, but yeah, you know, it was Race being Race, right? I mean, just, you know, we know what we've got with him and just a guy that's going to be a steady presence for us, you know, finished with, I think, 7 points. But yeah, I like the fact that I think he did knock down his only 3-point attempt. And, you know, as long as he's, I'm with you. I think if he gets an open look for three, because he's going to get them, right? I mean, just with his size and generally who's guarding him, he's going to have some open looks for threes, and he's going to be a guy that can knock them down. But he's got to know when he's feeling it, too. I think he took 4 or 5 against Xavier and missed them. So there's a fine line, right? I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where we rely on Race Thompson hitting a three, but it could be, you know, it also could be, if he gets that open look, right, we still want him to have the confidence to shoot it and knock it down because it could be a game changer for us in that sense. So, yeah, just, you know, continue to be happy with what we get from Race, right? I mean, he's that veteran leadership that we need, that veteran size that we need, and he just does what he does. So really happy with his performance.
And to play the game that we always like to play, don't look at the stats, Martha. And it's someone we haven't talked about yet, so that'll kind of cue you off. Maybe you already saw this, but give me who you thought had the biggest plus minus of the game.
I felt like just watching the game that in Geronimo's limited time, he put up some points, but he also had a boatload of rebounds, or what it felt like in his limited minutes. I'm like, man, it's just super active Jordan Geronimo. So that would be my pick, but
you looked, didn't you? Yes, it was Jordan.
I didn't look.
Jordan came in there, obviously 20 minutes, ended 3 for 4 from the field. He didn't take a three this time. Again, he's an like Race that I mind if he takes 1 or 2 threes in a game because of what that opens up for him, but had a good game. What did you think?
Yeah, I think just that, right? I mean, outside of what, you know, I think X has really turned the corner, but just in Jordan, you know, Jordan's a guy that's coming off the bench and in his limited, I wouldn't call it limited time, right? Because I think at the end of the game, he's got just as many minutes as anybody else, but at times, because you're coming off the bench, can be somewhat of an afterthought, but he makes sure he's not, right? By how active he is on both ends of the court. And it just, I promise I didn't look. I just remember him, the few shots he took, he made, but he also seemed very active rebounding the ball and, you know, with loose balls and things like that. So that's just how he makes his impression when he comes off the bench. And that's massive for us, right? If he can come in and be that guy that he was, you know, yesterday, I think that's huge for us moving forward.
Well, and not only that, his plus minus was 34. So, I mean, that's a very high plus minus to have in a game. And again, he just does the stuff you love and continues to make me green with envy with just the athleticism and what he can do. Some of those lobs that they give him are just incredible that he's able to go up, snag those and throw those down and make it so effortless in the meantime. He continues to every so often, and he didn't do it as bad as he did last game, because that was my biggest critique of him last game. He had at least one moment this time where he'll leave his feet too quickly. He's too anxious to get those block shots and continue to be the shot blocker that he has been, only one in this game, but he bites on those head fakes and those shot fakes a little too much. So that'd be my one critique from him. Malik had a pretty decent game, finished with 19 minutes, 8 points, three for four from the field. He took a three himself, made all of his free throws. Just kind of a game where I don't think he necessarily stands out too much, a play here and there. What did you think of Malik?
Yeah. I don't want to make it sound like I was unimpressed with his performance, but he's made such an impact early on that, you know, it's almost become the expectation. And again, against this opponent, it's not something that we needed, but continues to come in and contribute. All that said, right? I mean, it's not like he's coming, not like he came in and put up the 15 points we're used to, the 13 to 15 points we're used to him seeing. But again, he comes in and extremely active when he is in there, and still finished with looking three for four, 8 points. I mean, still for a freshman, right? I mean, that's in 18 minutes, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Just, you know, I've talked a lot about him. He's been my biggest surprise on this team, and I continue to be really, really impressed with him. And I'm really looking forward. We saw him do really solid against Xavier, right? And Xavier hung with Duke for a while yesterday. I'm really anxious to see how he performs against the length of teams like North Carolina and Arizona's. You know, I watched them a couple times too, and the length they have as well. You know, I think they're one of the biggest teams in college basketball. So I'm really, really anxious to see how he performs against those teams. I think it's a massive opportunity for him. Just a guy that continues to just impress me and contribute when he gets in there.
Yeah. And I was watching a little bit of that Xavier Duke game. I was hoping so much, hoping that they would pull off that game, that a win there for Xavier, while sweet to have a loss against Duke, just would have made our win against them at home so much more sweet, and then just bumped that tier one to tier one plus status. Last person to kind of talk about in this game, just kind of focused wise, player wise, would be X. And I'm going to try not to say it because it's said over and over too much, but X gives us exactly what we need to see in this game, and continues to be the player that we had some concern at the beginning of the year in the first game or two, and the exhibitions as well, that he looked off kilter and he didn't look like himself. And I was definitely nervous, and to begin with, as to how he was going to switch that around, and when he was, and if we could get the X that we saw at the end of the year. And it was really that Xavier game that Xavier got going. And he continues to just do what we need him to do. Making 16 points, 6 for 11 from the field, 4 for 8 from 3. Made some real big threes in the second half to really push us away from this team. 4 assists and 1 turnover. Just a great play by him, and continues to be a cornerstone of this team, both on both ends of the court. What did you think of X?
Yeah, Woody, you know, I listened to Woody's press conference. I had a drive, listened to both the Friday press conference when they beat Little Rock, the press conference after that, and then yesterday's. And he spent a decent amount of time talking about X and his early season struggles and how much this team needs him, and how happy and pleased he's been with his last two performances. Really kind of echoing exactly what you just said, right? It's having some concern and not necessarily quite sure where the, you know, what led to the early season struggles, but again, just being able to turn that corner relatively quickly. You know, think about last season. You know, we were into the Big Ten season a little bit, and we were still scratching our head about what we had with X. So, you know, if we've turned that corner, and I didn't know that there was a corner to be turned. There was just, you know, the early season struggles. We, you know, a lot of missed shots and just wasn't dropping for him, and you could sense the frustration in him. To be able to see the last couple of games, right, Xavier game, and then followed up with these two games, I think bodes well for us. Because again, there's going to be nights when from a shooting standpoint, Hood Shafino looks like a freshman, and that just makes it all that much more important for X to be, you know, somebody that we can rely on regularly from an offensive shooting standpoint. And he continues to be that guy. Continues to be a heck of a point guard for us. Joel just said he has looked like our MVP. here as of late, especially with when you look at who's injured. Trace has been out, and then, you know, you don't have, you know, you don't have Trey to rely on as a backup option at the guard level. So it's just elevated the need for X to step up, and he has. So that's what's encouraging. It's encouraging that he's looked this way this early in the season when it took a little while to click last year. So bodes well for us going into this tougher stretch of the season coming up.
And he's got his head on right. That's one of the important things too. And he will continue to be that player that plays on the mental razor's edge. And we want him to be that player because that gives him some of his edge. That gives him his bulldog attitude that we love to have out of a game, out of a team. Someone else that he had limited minutes, and I will go to some numbers after we talk about him, that we saw a glimpse of, and I wish we would have seen more minutes from him, was Logan Duncan. It was very interesting in his brief time out there, goes in and makes a mid-range shot, a pretty distance shot there, with confidence and just continues to look good. That would be maybe my one critique of the way the schedule has unfolded so far. Again, I do like the minutes distribution that we've had. He would be my one kind of grief with that I would say with coaches, that I would have wanted to see Logan play a little bit more. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was impressed. I'm sure you spoke about him. I didn't get a chance to listen to the show on Thanksgiving morning, but I was impressed by his time and minutes against Little Rock. And I sat there and watched him that game and then again yesterday. And I'm like, and I just kept thinking to myself, there is going to be a game this season when we need Logan Duncan. I don't know when it's going to be, when it's going to happen, but we're going to need him to come in and contribute and give us some minutes. And it gives you a little bit of confidence, not only for that for if and when that happens, but also for his development moving forward, right? A guy that, you know, didn't get any action last season and you know, has had some limited time this season. You're starting to see that there is a skill set with this guy. It's not just, there's some development that's going to happen and has been happening. So I've been impressed with what I've seen. He's come in and been aggressive, taking the ball to the hole, taking advantage of his opportunity. And in those limited minutes, you know, scored a solid amount of points. So I'm encouraged, right? I think that with his size, with the size of some of the teams that we're about to face, mentioned North Carolina, Arizona, you saw Purdue last night, who, you know, just took it to Gonzaga, and they've got some size down low. And we know what the Big Ten is going to be, right? We keep, you know, every day that passes, the Big Ten keeps looking better and better and better. So we're going to need some depth, especially if we continue to deal with some of these injuries. And the fact that we're seeing Logan step up a little bit in his limited minutes is really, really encouraging for when we get to some of those games.
Yep. Great to see what he could contribute to it. Looking at some numbers, I think the best number that we can look at in this was the assist to turnover ratio in this game. 23 assists to 10 turnovers. That's very high. Great ratio there to see. And one thing that I would even point out even closer is that our starting point guards had 10 assists. And if you want to even kind of expand that a little bit more, looking at kind of the main ball handlers, because Tamar, I think, did a decent amount of ball handling there when he was in there as well. That brings it up to 14. So great numbers there. What'd you think of that? And what's a few stats that stood out to you?
Yeah, it's always interesting. We certainly hear about the crappy free throw shooting when it's bad, but I think the fact that it's been quiet the last two to three games, I don't remember what we overall finished against Little Rock, but, you know, it's nice to see us. It's nice to not see that be a talking point. You know, it's nice to see us do our job there, because again, we can't continue to struggle there when we get into some of these harder games. So it's nice to see us turn that corner. And like you mentioned, the assist to turnovers, we're not turning the ball over at a crazy rate. Are there some times when we get a little loosey goosey with it or attempt an alley oop and we're not on the same page? Yeah. But I mean, you're going to have that a little bit, but I've been really, really pleased with how we've looked there. And how we've kind of turned the corner a little bit from the free throw line. So encouraging stuff there for sure.
Yeah. Last week, I don't have the numbers up, but we were high level. I think it was, if I remember right, Caleb Banks that came in and missed four or five of them at the end there, that really kind of tanked that percentage quite a bit. But overall, it was good in the Little Rock game and continued in this game with 75%. An interesting stat that I've kind of noticed, and I mentioned it in the Little Rock show, was a trend that's starting to happen that you're seeing from IU. And it's not necessarily to say that IU is starting too slow or really slow or whatever. It's more of how we're taking off in the second half is looking at our shooting numbers and our offense in the second half and how good they've been. And I think a lot of that has to do with our bench, our depth, the way we can play fast and how we wear down teams as the game goes on. Because if you isolate the shooting to the second half, IU finished 68% from the field and 62%, hold your clutch your pearls there, IU fans, from three-point line in the second half, shooting 5 for 8 and then 70 from the line. So some great numbers there, and I think that I'd be very interested to see as the competition gets better if we continue that trend, but that's a trend I've started to notice. Your kind of thoughts on that overall idea?
Yeah, I was going back and looking at the Jackson State stats a little bit and what we're able to do there. But yeah, I mean, you know, you did mention Caleb coming in and driving that stat down a little bit. But again, as I mentioned, it's just if we're not talking about it, that's a good thing, right? I mean, I think you'd agree with that. And just doing our job, because it almost seemed like it was a mental thing leading up to, you know. I mean, Coach Woody's talking about it, how he doesn't know how to flip the switch with these guys to get them better from the line. And it almost seemed like it was a mental thing, but now it seems like there's no noise around it. So maybe we have turned that corner, which I find very, very encouraging. So that's my hope. And again, because these games, we're going to be, you know, our opponents coming up, they're going to be close games, and these opportunities are going to matter. So we've got to be ready to take full advantage of them. And hopefully, you know, the recent improvement we've seen is going to bode well for us moving forward.
And you mentioned mental headspace there, and that was one note that I wanted to talk about. This team, their mental headspace is just in the right spot. And on a team that we've driven this home many times before that has a depth like that, you can see possibly some greediness, some contention between guys because of playtime or things like that. And you may see maybe some of that as minutes start to diminish because we have been able to spread them out. But just overall, because of the assist to turnover ratio, you see that everyone's sharing it and everyone's out there to help each other do better. And something other that points towards it, and I'll shout out Coach Tonsoni for this because it was a phrase he would say a lot, is fake hustle. And by fake hustle, it means that you make a mistake on one end of the court and then you go on the very next play on the other end and you might commit a foul or try to make a shot because you gave up a shot on the defensive side. That's something I haven't really seen this team do that was kind of a problem in past years with teams when they would make those mistakes. So just I love the mental headspace that this team is sitting in right now. Any thoughts on that, Martha?
Yeah, I think that they really do seem in a good spot. And, you know, I think that you've got to be happy with that because you can't always, to your point, it's not something you can say about this team, this program, you know, in the last 2 to 3 years. So, again, just seem to be a group of guys that really enjoy being around each other, really enjoy playing the game. And there's no – and for me that was – I don't want to say it was a concern, but I was certainly – you know, when you looked at everybody that returned and the talent that we added and my concern were, where are these minutes going to come from for everybody? You know, in this day and age in college basketball, you've got to be able to keep guys happy because players have options, right? So of course the pessimist in me, I'm like, man, I don't see any way that, you know, with all these guys, you know, we're going to find enough minutes to keep everybody happy. And that doesn't seem like that is a concern for anybody on that bench. And that's, you know, that's encouraging. That's again, they seem like they're a group of guys that really enjoy, you know, playing for each other, playing with each other. And, you know, there's none of that concern that I'm not getting mine, right? I'm not getting my minutes. I'm not getting my shots. So for me, that's encouraging. It's a good mix of experience and youth and the experience is leading like we hoped and want them to, and the youth is getting some valuable experience and developmental minutes as well. So I'm pleased with what we've seen, and you know, we're gonna, here in a week's time, we're gonna know, you know, quite a bit about this team.
And I think that that speaks volumes to the way this coaching staff has said things, and to the way Woody has kind of addressed that when he's ever asked about the bench minutes or this kind of thing. He's a strong believer and a strong preacher in next man up, or you got to do when your number's called, you got to do with your minutes what you need to do. And obviously there's a fine line, excuse me. There's a fine line when you have that kind of saying, because you could have guys hustle a little bit too much and try to do too much for look at me type of situation. But just love the culture that these coaches have presented for this team. And that's something we haven't called out too much on this show, is talking about the coaching staff. But overall, I love what they've done this year so far. There hasn't really been anything that I would say too negative about them. Yeah, they've handled maybe a situation here or there if you really had to drum up and look at things. But timeouts have been called pretty well. Plays have been called pretty well for guys. Substitution patterns have been pretty good. The only gripe you would maybe say is some people, Jared on assembly call would be the first one to argue about the two foul and you sit kind of situation, which coach still believes in, but hey, that's a philosophy a coach has and you just have to live with that. But the coaching staff has done the right things with this team. And a lot of times when coaching staffs are doing well and doing good, you don't notice them. It's that type of situation as a coaching staff. And your thoughts on kind of how those guys have contributed to this team. And again, we can't say too much about them because we don't know exactly what happens, but your thoughts on the coaches.
Well, I think it's a great segue from what we just talked about. And you said it well, right? I mean, the fact that these guys are in good headspace and that they are in a, you know, that they aren't thinking about themselves before everybody else. And we talked a lot about X, right? I think that this coaching staff is one of the large reasons he's been able to be, I don't want to say as productive. I think he's always had the skill set, but he's a guy that's got to be in a good mental space. And you've seen him have some bumps in the road at IU, right? Whether it was, you know, some challenges early last season or the mishap this offseason. It's not like there haven't been speed bumps, but it seems like this staff is helping him work through them, right? And, you know, he's always going to be a guy that plays with emotion, but he's been able to, for the most part, keep that in check on the court. And when you go back to his entire body of work over his collegiate career, that hasn't always been the case. So, you know, I think he's a great example for the impact that this coaching staff can and has had on guys, and to be able to manage, you know, the talent across the board and the minutes, and convince, you saw it from day one. You saw it from day one when Woody took over the program, his ability to get everybody to buy in and return. I think that there was just this general sense that we had a lot of departures, and you know, I think Armon Franklin was one of the few that left. And yeah, we had a couple after last season, but you know, I think that was in some cases some addition by subtraction. I just think that they didn't fit well in this program. But, you know, their ability to do that and simultaneously get the guys that we'd like to have return and then add talent, and just keep these guys invested mentally, I think just speaks volumes to the ability of this coaching staff. And this coaching staff's evolved over the year they've been here. You know, it's got some new guys, it's had some guys, you know, depart. So I think about that often, right? How strong this staff is, how united this staff seems. So, and you can see it from the unity of the players as well. So it's good stuff.
And not to sound too cliche with it or whatever, because we are a greedy fan base, but this staff has just kind of fit the ideal mentality that Hoosier Nation would want it to be. They preach family first. They're got that kind of family mentality and family togetherness, and taking care of business on the court as well as off the court, and being great men, becoming great gentlemen for the country and for yourself and your family, and what you do and how you carry yourself has just been great to see. And they obviously are recruiting guys that fit that mold and everything. And that's kind of one of the first things they look at as well when they're out there. They like to go, as Coach Yah has mentioned, when they go out to see guys, they're not only they see the highlight tapes, but then they like to go there and watch them and see how are you interacting with your teammates? What are you doing when you're on the bench kind of thing? And those things matter. And I like that IU is keeping those intact and not just being a team that goes after skill and then just forgets about the other things beyond there. And what you also see is these guys are having fun. And maybe possibly a new segment we need to add to this, the kind of captain of fun, you could say, off the court. And I don't follow him on TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but he's making me darn near close to starting a TikTok account. Is Miller Kopp has showed a lot of fun stuff coming out there. And maybe a segment that we need to start is the press conference word watch, which, if you haven't noticed, he has started to give the guys going into the press conference words that they have to say. And his first word that he had to say was chicken. And Tamar's last night was a little more obvious, and he wasn't as great working it in there smoothly, but his was trombone. I didn't get through to X's conference to see what his was. I don't know if you saw that at all, but there's a fun little tidbit. Go on YouTube. You can find those pressers, something fun to watch. But again, this team is having fun. What do you think of that with the team?
Yeah, it's hilarious to watch. I think that the cool thing about it is with what Miller provides, not just from the standpoint that, you know, obviously he's a guy that's going to bring the team together, but just I think the look into the program that we don't always get to see as fans, some of the behind the scenes stuff, and it's all good stuff, right? And I think it's his way of leading, right? I think that It's just fun to watch. I've spent some, and I think a good idea for us, I'm going to start giving you a word of the day for this program for Hoosier Morning After. I'll start giving you a word to slide in and see if you can accomplish it. But it's fun. I enjoy it. Right. I've spent some time watching some of his TikToks and just some of the behind the scenes stuff in the locker room and how these guys spend their time off the court. It's fun to watch, and fun to watch how close of a group they are. They really enjoy being around each other, which I think is the great thing to see. So it's fun stuff, and I'm certainly gonna miss him when he's gone, because I think he provides that humor side of things that we need, that every team needs, and hopefully somebody steps up to fill that void when he's gone.
Yep. And looking forward, obviously, coming up next week, Wednesday, IU plays the biggest game on the schedule, I think, of the year, in playing North Carolina. Two great blue bloods. Assembly Hall, I'm so happy it's there. It's going to be rocking and everything. Martha's going to be there and everything. It's interesting looking at North Carolina, because while they're ranked number one currently, they may not be. Those of you that didn't notice or know, they got beat by Iowa State last night in the tournament that they're playing in, 70-65. So they played a real tough game against them. And then they play again tomorrow, which I'm going to try to catch, because I haven't seen any of North Carolina, just to be prepared to see what they can do. I've obviously just seen the Final Four games that they had last year, but they play Alabama tomorrow at 3:30. It's on ESPN. A very interesting one. And another thing to mention, that they have such these hard games going into. I mean, that obviously favors Indiana, where we have this time off to rest Trace Jackson Davis and the other guys. Then we play them on Wednesday. Like I said, it's the 9:15 game, a late game, on ESPN. That is Eastern time, as always. Kind of your thoughts on this game coming up in North Carolina overall.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed that, you know, they dropped a game. They've looked really, really shaky, you know, when I've watched them. They don't, you know, you don't watch them, and clearly they look very talented, and obviously they return a lot from their, you know, their title runner-up run from last year, but they just look like a team that they look a lot like they did. I don't know if you remember watching them at all last year, but they started the season really shaky last year. They look very, very similar to that. And, you know, I think anybody that's watched them would agree with that, and hopefully that's not, you know, I'm sure the coaching staff won't let that get into the minds of our players. Like, these guys are, you know, they're not as good as we once thought they were, right? And because obviously the environment's going to be what it is. It's going to be a big game with Assembly Hall. It's going to be that environment. So that's, you know, I think that's usually worth a few points in and of itself. But, you know, you can't just take the fact that, you know, for example, if they happen to, I think they play Alabama today or tomorrow. I can't remember when they actually
play. It is. Yep. It's Alabama. Yeah.
But if they happen to drop two games in a row, you can't take that for granted. You can't just assume that, oh, these guys aren't as good as we thought. It's not going to be nearly the competitive game we thought it's going to be. They're still a very, very talented team. You've got to show up ready to play. They've got tournament experience where they've had some success, and obviously they return a lot. And, you know, we just got to be ready to go, right? And I think we will be. I think the staff's not going to let that happen. But again, I'm a little bit bummed that, you know, it's not going to be the number one versus whatever will be ranked at the time matchup that we originally thought it might be. But, you know, it's still going to be a big game, still a massive opportunity for us. I personally think, just based off what I've seen, it's a game we should expect to win, being on our home court. And I'm not to look too far ahead, because we'll have a chance to talk about this, but next weekend out in Vegas, I'm really, really anxious to see, you know, how that's going to be a game, because I've watched Arizona a little bit, and the size that they have, you know, that's going to be a real, real test for us. So I'm not trying to look too far ahead, because I think that's dangerous, but man, that's one that I think is going to tell us a whole lot about us.
Yeah, it's very exciting going forward. This game's going to be high energy. It's going to be exciting. I might need to get some black market blood pressure medicine before it, because it's definitely going to be get me excited and get things going in this game. So very excited to have that. One last kind of chance then kick to you for your ideas going forward, and then also give a Hoosier ticket project pitch there. Obviously, we may not see too many people want to offer up those seats for this game, because it's a high level game. But go ahead and talk about it for
us. Yeah, we're not drowning in ticket donations for the North Carolina game. I kid. It's you know, our donors have been just absolutely tremendous. You know, we're the first handful of home games, and it's just been, you know, mentioned the holiday games and how it's been a great opportunity. So it's been good. We sent a bunch of people yesterday. We sent a bunch of people Wednesday, and we'll continue to do so moving forward. And you know, if it's games you can't make, you know, you can go visit the HoosierTicketProject.org and hit that donor button. If you know of somebody that would be a good candidate to go to a game, you can request on our website as well. And I also want to send out best wishes to Grace Berger, who looked like she had somewhat of a nasty knee injury. Hopefully we get some good news and it's not anything significant. But just the pain on her face, you know, yesterday's game, it just, you know, some concern there. So sending her our best wishes, and same to Trey Galloway. I think the longer he's out, the more concerned I get about, you know, what potentially is going on in that knee. So, you know, he's a guy that obviously we look like a different team when he's available. So, you know, it just allows us to take that play to the next level. So hopefully, you know, I think the good news is he's at least out getting work in before the game, and you see him kind of testing that body a little bit. So hopefully that means he's close and it's not, you know, it's, you know, too significant of an issue with that knee. So hopefully we see him ready to go here soon as well.
Yep. He's definitely one of those players that's biting at the chomping at the bits to get out there and play. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. Hopefully he doesn't rush it too much. But that'll do it for this edition of Hoosier Morning After. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back again on Thursday morning after the North Carolina game. Let's hope it's an exciting one. Obviously, it will be. It'll be high energy. It's a whiteout game, so if you're at the game, don't forget wear your white there to the game. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Those of you watching and listening on your podcast situations, we appreciate that as well. Follow me on Twitter at General Chadwick. You can also follow Martha the Mop Lady at Martha the Mop Lady. Thanks for Bob Thompson for producing the music you hear on the show. We'll be back again the morning after the next game. Until then, go out there, have a wonderful day, guys, and go Hoosiers.